Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Doubling up on the guests, Jeff Van Gundy, before getting to his pregame work ahead of working the Celtics-Cavs game two. Speaking of, in the end, one-sided game ones of conference finals. Jeff, Charlie down here, appreciate the time. Obviously, you took in the game here, and I know you were on the Rockets to win the series, not overwhelmingly so or anything, but that this may indeed be their time. Not that one game ends it, but from a Rockets angle, what would most flummox you or worry you about what the Warriors did in the second half last night?
Well, just Durant's greatness. You know, he can go get a great shot anytime he wants, even against quality defense. And then at the other end of the floor, you know, Harden and Paul were good. Somehow they, you know, Mabute and Tucker didn't make a shot. Ariza only played 23 minutes. You know, they've got to get a little bit more from everybody else. You know, but I think the simpler things, Charlie, are, you know, don't foul quite as much. You make a few more free throws, and they've got to cut down on their turnovers. They've been a low turnover team all year. They were a high turnover team last night. They've got to cut those down.
Yeah, Rockets been averaging 9 turnovers for much of the playoffs. The Warriors, who can, whether just getting lackadaisical from time to time, things can come so easily, or maybe they want to test what they can get away with, they can be high turnover. Well, they only coughed it up 9 times last night. The Rockets with 16. That is a killer tandem. You think Steve Kerr is thinking, boy, that was about the ideal way for James Harden to score 41 points?
Well, I think, you know, too much of this has played out that the Rockets isolate and Golden State doesn't. If you looked at the game last night through an unbiased lens, Golden State isolates a lot. And particularly the way the game's evolved defensively with these two teams in particular, where they switch, you know, 1 through 5 a lot, what you come to, because you don't get an advantage off a screening situation, is you've either got to be able to post a smaller guy up, or you've got to beat a bigger guy off the dribble or a favorable matchup. And so Harden, he takes longer in his isolations. You know, he dances, and quite frankly, it's sometimes very effective and very hard to watch simultaneously, but he just takes longer. Chris Paul the same way. So they've got to find a way, as those guys are effective, that they can help the guys who need help to get shots, get quality looks. And I thought they did have quality looks. I mean, Tucker missed some that he could have made. Mabute, you know, can make some of those shots, and they're going to have to. I'm interested to see going forward, do they play the same guys? Do they play less guys? Do they play different guys?
3 24-second violations in the first half for the Rockets tonight, to amplify on your point there. Hey, Chris Paul is a great player, a great, great player. But at 33 years old and all that Golden State can throw against him in terms of different bodies and size, I think he needs to be fantastic, not even just normal Chris Paul excellence. Is it too much to ask of him 4 times in the remaining 6 games? Just 1 field goal for Chris Paul in the second half before 3 in the last 2 minutes before it was totally decided.
I don't think it's too much to ask. I think he still has that in him. The thing about the playoffs is that you do get more rest. Right, so there's, you know, not playing any back-to-backs, and after game 2, there's multiple days off. So, you know, this is, you know, he's good. He's like you said, he's a great, great player, and he can do it. Now the difference is, he's not going up against Steph Curry, right? His initial defender is Klay Thompson. They try to hide Curry on Ariza. That's why you saw the Rockets try to set more screen and rolls with Curry's man than they did with Capella, which they normally do, because they want Curry involved in the action. They want Curry to have to guard Harden on a switch. And when they did get that switch, Harden absolutely crushed Curry off the dribble. You know, people said, like, oh, that's not bad. But, no, he absolutely roasted him last night. And if he can continue to get that switch and he can get by Curry, I think, you know, foul trouble looms, point-blank shots loom for either he or Capella, or they have to give help, and that's when some of the other guys can get open and involved.
Talk with Jeff Van Gundy. James Harden just magnificent last night, efficiently so. 14 of 24 from the floor, 5 of 9 from 3. You mentioned, of course, it's not a fair fight, Durant. If we could combine Ariza, Bamute, and Tucker into one player, they're not a fair fight against Durant. But you can't get completely slaughtered there. So it does come back to that basic element that you interject, make or miss. And from the Rockets' side, you know, it's not as if Golden State shot uncharacteristically. They lead the league at 50%. They were 52-5. They lead the league in three-pointers at 39-1. Last night they were 39-4. I mean, Curry had a very quiet game. In picking the Rockets, was there a fundamental edge you thought that could work out in their favor over best of seven versus how much of it was hunch, that it's just their time? Give a Rockets fan a little hope.
Well, I thought it was more hunch and hunger. I thought they had played so well. I thought they had been challenged throughout the year. Golden State's clearly the more talented team. You know, Golden State, from an advantage standpoint, talent-wise, since they got Durant, has the largest talent differential that I can remember from the best team, as far as if you, and I do consider them the most talented team, to the next best team. I've never seen a differential like this when since Durant's been there. But I just thought hunger, a hunch, and also I thought the three-point shooting and the low turnovers in combination may be enough to overcome that. The Rockets and the Warriors can't make equal number of threes. You know, they've got to – they both made 13 last night. That plays into Golden State's advantage because Golden State shoots a lot more mid-range twos. And, you know, so if I was looking at it statistically, Golden State got to the free throw line more and shot better. They can't do it. They shot equal number of threes. That can't happen. But, Charlie, you touched upon it. Golden State can be a high turnover team. Houston's got to force more turnovers, and they've got to reduce their turnovers. If they do, they'll win game two.
It still feels ridiculous to say the Rockets only took 37 three-point shots, but 21 in the first half and then only 4 of only 16 attempts in the second half. If they're not going to shoot, and in a single game or in a series of games, of course you can throw out the statistics and shoot well beyond or below your norm. But if they're not going to make 40% plus, to just be crudely round with numbers, do you think they have to get up 40-plus threes just to overcome Golden State's efficiency edge?
It's going to be hard to do that because of the defense of Golden State. And historically, three-point shooting percentages go down in the playoffs for whatever reasons. And I think it's the volatility of the three, as you mentioned. You can go on a great two-week run if you shoot high-volume threes and upset a team. You can also go on a bad run shooting the same quality three-pointers that you may make normally. You just miss them, and you get upset. So that volatility, I'm sure, both gives the Rocket fan hope, and it gives him pause for concern. And so I just think they're going to continue to play pretty well. I think they have to play better in a couple statistical areas. They've got to get more contributors who can keep Golden State honest at the offensive end of the floor. Listen, it's going to be hard. Durant is without question the best player on the floor. He's the most talented guy, probably the most talented in the league with James. And so it's hard, and there's no good matchup for him. I thought their defense against him oftentimes was very good.
Jeff, if Steve Kerr has been asked about it or spoken to it, I've just missed it at any point along the way. Having the luxury of what he has, and then they had injury issues. I don't want to say they necessarily cruised through the regular season, but not the pedal to the metal approach the Rockets had, that massive carrot of let's get the number one seed. Do you think as far back as a couple of months ago that taking the Rockets very seriously and respecting all they were accomplishing, evolving Kevon Looney's role in talking with Tim Roy, the Warriors radio guy. Said, hey, look, he's not Capella yet, but Capella light in terms of a mobile, springy big that when you do all the switching and all the pick and roll stuff, JaVale McGee just can't move that way. Obviously, Zsa Pachulia has gone from final starter to a non-entity. Perhaps Jordan Bell would have done it some more if he hadn't had the injury problems. But Looney, you know, someone will look at the box score and go, 2 points, 4 rebounds, and no blocks in 24 minutes. What was that guy doing on the floor? I thought he did a lot.
Well, the thing he's really good at, Charlie, is, like you said, he can move his feet defensively. So instead of having to put two on the ball at some point in the Harden Paul pick and rolls, which leaves shooters open, then they're playing against long closeouts and they can beat their guy off the dribble. Looney, like Draymond Green, can switch a lot of that action. And while he can't stop James Harden or Chris Paul, and they'll beat him off the dribble, it's not so bad that they have to go to an alternative scheme where they either double team or drop the big back. So because of that, they can stay closer to the shooters. And I think you mentioned Looney's presence. They didn't pick up his option, and it's a small option, at the start of the year. So they didn't see this coming where he was going to be such an integral part. But the way it's evolved, the matchup against the Rockets, he's going to be critical.
Lottery tonight, and then we'll approach unsubstantiated, goofy, sometimes true rumor season. The Suns, supposedly hot for Capella, conceivably offer him the max, all their room, desperate to make an imprint move, and I guess turn the screws on the Rockets. Would they match? To what degree would that stun you? I know earlier in the year that it was, all right, hey, the Biombos and Mozgovs, that Capella's perfect in this system. Well, who thinks he's going to flourish that way? And I don't even know who Phoenix thinks it's going to be running point out there. I love Devin Booker. But what do you think Capella's value is in this league?
Well, I think it's high for the Rockets. And because of their shooting and the greatness of Harden and Paul, I would be surprised if he got a max offer from Phoenix, just because their roster construction is so different. That doesn't mean he's not good and really good and very improved.
But 25 mil.
Things. Yeah, but I just don't see that. Those teams have so many holes in their roster. You know, when you have the worst record, right, you have major holes in your roster. They have no point guard. Their wing play is suspect, minus Booker. You know, Warren off the bench is okay. You know, they don't have front court players, so maybe it's such a need, but I don't see them spending their money there. I think they're going to try to get a point guard who can give themselves a chance on the perimeter to be more competitive.
Cap league aside, easy, of course, for us to spend tens of millions of someone else's money. Would he be a must match for the Rockets? Or if someone did it just to say, all right, we're going to gum up your cap for years and years and years, would they have to match the way they're constituted? Or is there a drop-dead price, whatever Daryl Morey and his staff would figure out, that we just can't go there?
Well, I think basketball-wise, he's an absolute must-signing. I mean, I don't know the financial repercussions. I know they would be severe when you couple them with Harden and Chris Paul. You know, so those have implications, but they don't have anybody on their roster that can replicate what Capella can do at both ends. You know, his job is simple and yet hard. He's got to be able to screen and roll with energy and force and be able to catch above the rim and finish. He does that exceedingly well. And then defensively, the way they want to play, he has to be good enough to switch screens and be able to guard the multitude of great wing and point guard players in this league. And he can do that very well, too. So there's no one that can play big minutes and can do those two things that the Rockets can sign. So, and listen, they're already over the luxury tax. I don't know how much Mr. Fertitta is willing to spend, but if money's not the object to save it from the luxury tax standpoint, he's an absolute must signing.
Last thing, I know you have a meeting to get to. You're on the Celtics before that series started, and certainly never, ever underselling or ruling out LeBron doing amazing, amazing things. But I wanted to pose it to you this way. If we were at the playground choosing teams, after LeBron, how many Celtics do you think get picked before the next Cav goes?
Well, that's my point, Charlie. Like, I don't know exactly what I'm thinking, but I have a different question to pose back. LeBron over whoever his matchup is. But tell me one other matchup where you'd pick the Cavalier over the Celtics. You know, I'm going to take Rozier over George Hill, and I'm going to take Jaylen Brown over J.R. Smith, and I'm going to take Jason Tatum over Kyle Korver. And then you give James the advantage, and then I take Horford over Love. So, and then go to the bench. I mean, so what we're reduced to is James has to not be really good. He's going to have to be incredibly special. And I think what's happened with the Celtics, because Irving and Hayward have gotten hurt, people ask, like, Hayward just got hurt. He's been hurt the whole year, and they won 55 games. Kyrie Irving missed 20-some games. They still won 55 games. They are exceptionally talented, and they're going to get more talented. They're on the verge of being the next dynasty in basketball if they can keep their group together, because they have elite talent and young talent. Now, signing them all, keeping them all with all the luxury tax dollars there is to spend, again, I don't know where Boston stands on that spending, but Danny Ainge has done an incredible job putting together this type of roster, and they're going to be good for a very, very long time. And that's why it wasn't even hard. If I had guts, I would have said they were going to sweep, but I mean, you can't say that to a LeBron James team, but I just think they're so much better than Cleveland is.
Jeff, thanks as always.
You got it. Take care.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.